Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of Milky Mist Dairy Foods Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Devika Shah from Adfactors PR. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of Milky Mist Dairy Foods Limited. Today, we have with us Mr. C. Satish Kumar, Chairman and Managing Director, Dr. K. Ratna, Whole-time Director and CEO, Mr. Biswajit Mishra, Chief Financial Officer. We will begin with the opening remarks from the management, followed by a Q&A session. Please note that this call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the belief, opinion, and expectation of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand over the conference to Dr. K. Ratna, Whole-time Director and CEO, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Devika. Good morning to everyone, and thank you all for joining us today. A warm welcome to all of you, and thanks for joining our maiden earnings call after the listing. On this call, we are joined by Mr. Satish Kumar, the Chairman and Managing Director of Milky Mist, Mr. Biswajit Mishra, the Chief Financial Officer, and Adfactors PR, our investor relations consultants. The results and the presentations are uploaded on the stock exchange and the company website. I hope everyone had a chance to look at them. First and foremost, I would like to take this opportunity to express my sincere gratitude to all our shareholders for the trust and faith they have placed on us. A warm welcome to our new shareholders, to the Milky Mist family, and thanks to all our stakeholders, such as our employees, customers, business partners, bankers, and legal advisors, whose continued support and contribution were instrumental in making our journey for the successful listing and thereof. As this is our first earnings call, I would like to take a step back and introduce Milky Mist brand, who we are, and what we do. I am sure you must have gone through the website, the presentations which we uploaded. Nevertheless, I would like to brief about our company. Milky Mist was one of the first private companies in India, the first one to launch branded packaged paneer way back in 1997 and 1998, when everybody was marketing loose paneer at that point of time. Built around paneer, other basic products such as ghee and butter, we were pioneer in launching bucket curd in 1 kg format in around 2009 and 2010. Over a period of time since starting our paneer in 1997, 1998, and building around basic product portfolios, we went into a major expansion of setting up of the greenfield project, which came into fully operational in 2019. Between 2019 and now, we had a kind of a capacity building of our all the product manufacturing lines, product expansion, and product categories, end-to-end establishing end-to-end logistics, and a strong market expansion across the country. What we started as a single product idea has grown today into a diversified value-added dairy and packaged food company with 22+ product categories, having more than 650 SKUs as of June 30th, 2026. We positioned Milky Mist as a value-added FMCG company built around a diverse portfolio of consumer-focused food products, supported by a strong distribution network with continuous innovation and a track record of a strong financial performance. When we talk about the product portfolio, at Milky Mist, we have built a very diversified value-added FMCG portfolio. Our business is defined by different product categories and value addition to our product portfolio, a very focused consumer-centric approach, and our ability to build brands and scale across markets. This focused approach has been central to the growth and profitability we are delivering today, and will continue to focus on, one, our product portfolio caters to all age groups of consumers, meeting their requirements from breakfast to dinner table. We market our products under our flagship brand name Milky Mist and some sub-brands including Smart Chef, Capella, Brios and Asal. We have 5 different segments to cater to the needs of the consumers we have created. At the foundation are the basic needs of the products of the consumers, like such as paneer, butter, curd, ghee and yogurt and UHT milk, which anchor everyday household consumption and drive volume and brand recall. The second category of the products which we built around is the indulgence products, includes cheese, sweetened condensed milk, cream and kova, to name a few. We have an impulse buying range or on-the-go products category that comprises of yogurts, of protein in nature and regular consumption, milkshakes, lassi, buttermilk and chocolates. Our portfolio further extends to after-meal products to get a kind of a pleasure and satisfaction. Those products such as ice creams, gulab jamun, misti jai and srikhand. And finally, we have a category for our healthy choices segment such as high-protein paneer, high-protein natural cheddar, cheese, Greek yogurt and Skyr is one of the fastest growing categories in our product offering. Through our wide range of product portfolio, revenue is not limited to a single product category, but diversified across occasions and price points. When we talk about our manufacturing, logistics and distribution strength, our greenfield plant at Perundurai Manufacturing Facility in Erode, Tamil Nadu, is dedicated to all type of value-added dairy and food products such as I explained previously, including frozen, RTE and RTC products. When we talk about the sourcing of milk, we source the entire quantity of milk directly from the farmers and their payments are also directly into their bank accounts. Our strategically located Perundurai Manufacturing Facility capitalizes on the region's robust dairy farming community to ensure a consistent supply of high-quality raw milk. Further, South India is less affected by seasonal variation, like we have only 2 seasons, summer and monsoon, nothing else other than that, as compared to other parts of the country. Geographical seasonal advantages coupled with our milk balancing system enables us to efficiently manufacture fluctuations in our milk supply and demand situations. With regard to logistics, we manage our own logistics to ensure that our diverse product range, which require a chilled, ambient and frozen conditions, maintain its quality from procurement of raw materials, that is milk, to the point of sale of our products, that is our distributors and the retail touch points. Company-owned logistics, we have about 375 vehicles with, as I said, both chilled, ambient and frozen, all categories. Infrastructure further helps us to reduce the transportation. Today, Milky Mist has established a very strong pan-India presence. Our presence across 22 states and 5 union territories, supported by 4,200 plus distributors, with 375 primary transporting vehicles and more than 600 vehicles for the secondary transportation of our products, with closer to 4 lakh liter out touch points on daily basis. Further strengthening is through a network of 41,000 plus visi-coolers and freezers. I may mention here that we are one of the pioneer company in introducing the cold chain facilities at the retail point way back in 2009, of preserving the product till the product reaches to its consumer hands. That is the point where we introduced the visi-coolers and we continue to build that market infrastructure. And today we have more than 41,000 visi-coolers, ice cream freezers and chocolate coolers across the retail touch points in India. We have a greater industry opportunities coming in that industry opportunity. The India's value-added dairy products market, comprising products such as curd, lassi, butter, ghee, paneer, cheese, yogurt, milkshakes, etc., and ice creams including, was valued at approximately rupees 5.5 trillion in fiscal 2025 and is expected to grow nearly 9.9 trillion, I would say 10 trillion by 2030. This growth, this is I'm talking about only the value-added product segment, excluding milk. This growth is being driven by raising disposable incomes, rural prosperity, greater health consciousness, and a clear consumer shift towards premium, protein-rich, and convenient dairy as well as food options. Within this, paneer is expected to grow to approximately 20.6% by fiscal 2030, making it the fastest growing segment in the category. The organized market, paneer market alone, is projected to grow from roughly rupees 40.6 billion in fiscal 2025 to approximately 102 billion by fiscal 2030, a CAGR of 20% plus. This structural shift in consumer preference is creating a large and sustainable opportunity for Milky Mist. We intend to harness this sizable opportunity with a few of our key strengths, which include strengthen our leadership position in South while accelerating our strong presence across newer geographies. Continuously expand capacity and procurement capabilities at our Perundurai facility, including addition of new whey protein concentrate manufacturing unit, capacity expansion in yogurts and cream cheeses, as well as the new plant manufacturing lines on natural cheeses. Strengthen our brand visibility through increased advertisement, influencer partnerships, and performance marketing. Yeah, pursue disciplined inorganic growth, building on our recent Asal and Brias acquisitions to have a meaningful contribution from the new product categories. Leverage our technology, IoT-enabled logistics, data analytics, and automation to continuously improve our cost and operational efficiency. Further, expand our retail footprint through visi coolers, ice cream freezers, and chocolate coolers. We plan to deploy more than 50,000 visi coolers, ice cream freezers, and chocolate coolers over the next 3 fiscal years, as we indicated earlier. With this context, let me turn to our performance for the Q1, for first quarter of fiscal 2027. We have started FY27 on a very, very strong note. Our revenue per quarter grew by 44% on a year-on-year basis to rupees 973.45 crores. Our performance during the quarter was supported by strong demand and healthy sales across our entire product portfolio and across the markets. I would like to highlight the performance across our key categories for Q1 FY27. Paneer remained our largest contributor, with both volumes and revenue growing by 34%, taking the revenue to 248.29 crores from paneer alone, which contributes about 26-27% of the top line. Cheese and curd also delivered a very strong growth, with revenue increasing by 38% in cheese and 27% in curd. Ice cream delivered particularly a very, very strong growth because of the season as well as our brand equity, with volumes that grew by 45% and revenue by 60% on a year-on-year basis, which is one of the promising and fast-growing category as far as Milky Mist is concerned. Yogurt was another standout performer. When I say yogurt, it is the yogurt of fruit yogurt of basic nature. The protein category such as Greek yogurt and Sky, with a revenue growing by 153% quarter-on-quarter basis to rupees 84.5 crore, coming only from yogurt category, reflecting a continued strength of this category. This is, again, another strongest category which will contribute to the top line as well as bottom line of the company. Overall, the broad-based performance across our product portfolio reflects the strength of our product categories and the increasing consumer acceptance of our offerings as well as product categories. In Q1 FY27, sales in South continued to lead, a growth coming from all trade channels, with higher growth coming from e-coms and followed by modern trade and general trade. Equal growth also coming from non-South areas, that is West, North, and East. Moving to gross profitability, in Q1 FY27, our gross profit was 332 crores, translating into a margin of 34.2%. This margin expansion in gross profit was nearly 270 basis points, which was primarily driven by our strong product mix, pricing ability, and sales, and the volume of scale. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 144.89 crores, translating to an EBITDA margin of 14.9%, an outcome of operational efficiencies from 13.7% in FY27. FY26. Profit after tax for the quarter was at rupees 64.67 crores, translating into a PAT margin of 6.6%. Moving further, we commissioned our new cheddar cheese plant into operation in Q1 FY27 with an installed capacity to produce 120 metric tons of natural cheddar cheese per day. This capacity addition is an important step in strengthening our natural cheese category, giving us significant headroom to scale production in line with the growing demand for natural cheese category as well as the processed cheese. Our focus remains on building a stronger and more efficient and scalable business. We will continue to invest in our capabilities, strengthen our portfolio, deepen our distribution, and build brands that are relevant to today's evolving consumers. At the same time, we remain committed to disciplined execution, improving operational efficiencies, and maintaining a very strong focus on profitable growth. As we begin this new chapter as a listed company, we see a significant runway for growth ahead of us. Our priorities are very clear: strengthen and improve our leadership position in our existing markets and in the newer markets as well, build a broader pan-India presence, expand our value-added FMCG portfolio, and create Milky Mist as a household brand of India, with every household consuming Milky Mist paneer. That's our objective and goal going forward. We will pursue this journey with ambition, but also with the discipline and a clear focus on delivering sustainable financial performance. We are confident in the opportunity ahead and in the capabilities we have built to capture it. More importantly, we remain committed to creating long-term value for our customers, employers, employees, partners, and shareholders. We thank you for your trust and support and look forward to sharing this journey and our progress with you in the quarters ahead. Now, with this, I open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from the line of Pratik Dharamshi from Union Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me ask the question. Many congratulations, Mr. Ratnam and Satish, for a fantastic set of numbers. My first question is on your procurement strategy. So if I look at your DRHP, procurement from third-party operators were virtually zero, say, three, 4 years back, and now it's closer to 15%. So can you elaborate more on the third-party procurement strategy? How is it? Is it margin accretive, and how should one see that? That's my first question.
See, thanks for the question. Our endeavor and our objective is to procure directly from the farmers, which we have been continuing over the last many years. However, a couple of years back, one of the private equity-owned entities, which is known as Innoterra, and their offshoot in India, in Tamil Nadu, is Milkline. They set up a kind of procurement activities in Tamil Nadu to procure a good quality milk and sell it at a premium to the players in the sector. While doing so, they were, as you know, liquid milk procurement and selling is always based on the demand and supply. So they were in a difficult situation post COVID, and they came to us whether we would be in a position to take over the operations. And that's when we explored, and we said that we'll, given a choice, we will go ahead with a long-term contract with them, and on an exclusive basis. So that's the reason we have included that the private equity owned in a aggregate means procurement person, I mean entity. And in fact, they are also like us. They have been collecting milk directly from the farmers. We have been monitoring their operations day in and day out. And their payment system also like ours, that directly into their bank accounts. So there is no aggregators pouring any milk into the third party. It is an extension of our procurement activity going forward also. And this, since it is it's a long-term contract of 5 years, their volumes will contribute our, you know, some of our product categories which require a very good high-quality milk, such as yogurts and UHT milk. And there are no financial implications because we, you know, in fact, we pay to our farmers based on the quality, like, you know, a little bit of a premium towards the bacteriological superior milk. So similar kind of setup is also being extended to this third-party you know, provider. Nothing else, our focus would remain with the procurement directly from the farmers.
Got it.
Thank you.
And second, yeah, and thanks for it. Second was on the analog paneer. So recently we are hearing a lot of concerns around that across states. Have you started to see any incremental benefits and shift towards organized paneer makers like you? Because it's one of the largest category for us. So how are you seeing those trends evolving? Thank you.
See, in Q1, our paneer volume growth has been 34%, okay, volume growth and sales growth, okay. Now, that has come on two accounts. Number one, you know, the GST on paneer has become zero in September last year. And with that, you know, the pricing difference between the organized and unorganized players has become almost nil. So that also gave Milky Mist a very strong, you know, growth momentum as far as paneer is concerned. And second thing, you know, we have been informing, we have been telling, we have been talking on various forums and also with authorities for, you know, stopping of this analog products particularly. And thanks to FSSI and some of the key states which have banned, you know, analog paneer, which we now we see a lot of volume uptake as far as our paneer is concerned. And going forward also, we see a very strong growth coming from paneer. And this would also help not only the companies like Milky Mist Sauce, because we are the strong, largest manufacturer of paneer, but also, you know, it will help the consumers to have a better product rather than having an analog type of products.
Got it. Thanks a lot and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, kindly limit yourself to 2 questions per participant and rejoin for a follow-up. Next question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Nuvama Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks and congrats. My first question is on the QSR recovery. So we have seen multiple players call out QSR recovery in Q1. And generally in consumption, if any trend reverses after few quarters, a few years, it continues for 1 year. So I wanted to understand from a cheese revenue growth, do you think this kind of a strong number should continue? And if you can tell us in terms of B2B supply, is cheese also a strong component? And are you supplying to a lot of the QSR players? That is my first question.
Okay. Thanks, thanks, Amish, for that question. Let me make one thing very clear to you that our B2B sales is only whey powder, which is coming out from cheese and paneer manufacturing. Other than that, we don't have any B2B sales. We don't supply to QSRs. So we don't know whether the sector is, you know, coming back or not. But we have established a very, very strong, you know, retail network, GT, general trade, modern trade and quick comms. So our entire cheese sales and the growth has been coming from this sector and not from the QSR. So rest assured, and we will continue to have a similar growth going forward also. Apart from that, you know, with again, you know, when analog paneer is banned, and the next extension is going to be analog cheese, you know. So that also will help us to maintain the growth momentum what we have now going forward also.
One follow-up here. As of now, so no plans to supply to the QSR, given it's coming back in terms of growth. So it could be an opportunity. As of now, no plans, right?
No, there are no blip, because you see, we continuously focus on retail segment, okay? That's our key strength, you know. So because there means we would continuously focus on general trade, modern trade, and quick commerce, and also HoReCa segment, okay? So that's our focus, okay? If an opportunity comes to supply to QSRs, we will explore. Otherwise, our focus and objective is mainly towards this one.
My second and last question is, paneer has done quite well and a very large category for you. If I see, you are one of the few players who is segmenting that category into high protein paneer and normal protein. So if you can elaborate, if that can continue as a sustainable strategy, because Indian customer clearly very value-focused. So will your high protein paneer in terms of the ROI from the customer, because he's paying more, he's getting a bit more protein, but long term, do you see that this can continue to remain a very sustainable strategy to have both paneer and high protein paneer also?
See, we introduced a high protein paneer some time back, and that has been growing steadily, and there's a good demand coming for this particular category of, high protein paneer. But Amit, if you look at it, you know, what are the options available for the vegetarians to have a good quality protein, in their meal? It's only nothing but milk and paneer, right? Okay. So the paneer will remain and will continue to grow like what it has been growing since last many years. And our focus is, being our star product of the company, Milky Mist, our focus is to grow this, in leaps and bounds, and we'll continue to grow in this category. That's number one. And number two, India is a protein deficit country. If you look at it, the consumption of the protein requirement is very less. If we take about 50% of the protein what we require, and beyond that we are not consuming. So paneer becomes one of the basic ingredient or basic, part of the Indian diet, and particularly more so in South India, because we have a large number of population being vegetarians.
So thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from IIFL Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers, and thanks for taking my question. Sir, first question is on gross margin, and I understand you have explained it in the press release, but most dairy companies have reported sharp margin contraction in gross margin terms, and this is largely reflective of milk procurement prices, which have increased across the board. So just trying to understand, why is that kind of contraction not visible in Milky Mist numbers? And second sub question to that is, there are news reports of sharp increases being announced in the last 1 week in milk procurement prices in Tamil Nadu, upwards of around 15%. So how should one look at gross margins in quarters ahead, especially in line of other overall inflationary pressures? And I am assuming we would have taken price hikes last year in any case. So is there more room to take price hikes further? That would be my first question, sir.
Sameer, okay, let me answer part of this question, then Mr. Biswajit will explain about the margin expansion. As far as Milky Mist is concerned, as you all know, we don't sell pouch milk. So we are only into a value-added product category. And it's not a single product category, but we have got more than 20 product categories. So every category is growing. And if you look at it, you must have noticed that, during my speech, that, paneer has been growing at 34%, the cheese is at 38%, yogurts is at 150% plus, and ice creams is more than 60%. All this product mix is a value or volume and margin drivers, okay? They are driving the margins. So that's number one. So we are not depending on the liquid milk for our margins, but our margins are contributed largely from this kind of product category mix. Number two, partially I will answer to that question with regard to the price increase in milk. We were already paying about 41, 42 rupees per liter with a landed cost of 45 rupees to the farmers before the Arvind increases the price of 3 rupees earlier. Now, yesterday they increased another 3 rupees, and we'll have to see whether the 3 rupees directly going to the farmer or is there any, what is the commission basis and all those things. We are studying that one. Having said that, we have, since we are not into liquid milk, and we are in a position for the pricing ability across all our product categories. So with that, I ask Biswajit to answer to your margin expansion.
Yeah. So like last time also we discussed in various discussions, so price increase strategy is there with our product strategy, and whenever there is an input price increase, the gestation time like 2-3 months we wait for the sustainability and then we take action on the product price increase. That is the strategy for our margin sustainability and that will continue. Today, if you look at the price increase what we have done in last Q, like last Q4 of last year, we have done the price increase and the results are coming in Q1. And you are right, there are some price increases now recently happening. And we have also closely studied all these price impacts. And once we are through with the analysis, and we'll take action on the price increase. So the strategy will remain same. Whenever there is a cost impact and there is a sustainability pressure on margin, we will take action on that.
Just a follow-up, Biswajit, on this. What would be the pricing overall increase in reflective in this first quarter numbers? So since last year, at this time, we would not have taken any price hike.
Are you Samir?
No. Yeah,
Samir. Yes, Samir. Yeah. Hi, Samir. Yeah. So 10.5%.
Thank you very much. Samir, kindly come back for a follow-up. I request all the participants, please limit yourself to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, 2 questions. One regarding the freight cost, because at least what we understand from various other dairies in India, that they, in order to reduce the freight cost and to reach out the customer very quickly as far as the fresh products are concerned, so they need to have multiple manufacturing units. Whereas in case of our company, we have one plant and we cater to even far longer cities like even Mumbai, Pune or any other cities also. So how does the freight mechanics works for us? I guess we have own trucks. So if you can elaborate a bit on that aspect. That is question number one. And question number two, if you can indicate the price hikes which we would have implemented, let's say in past 12 months, in across the products, maybe paneer, curd, etc., all the products. And how do you see the need of price hikes in coming quarters as the procurement prices continue to be in inflationary mode? Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Anirudh. With regard to the transportation, I would like to a bit of an elaboration I would like to give you. See, when you compare with all others, because most of the peers or the other dairy operators, you know, they're all into 70-80% in liquid milk. And liquid milk essentially requires the shorter transportation within the radius of 100 to 120 kilometers. Okay. And because it also has a liquid milk, also pouch milk also has got a shelf life of around 24 to 48 hours. So you have to be very closer to the markets. Whereas in our case, you know, we have a minimum shelf life of product is starting from 30 days. And and then we have a very strong manufacturing unit at one place, number one. Number two, the company own and operates more than 375, the transportation fleet. That gives us an ability to, you know, to load the products as it comes out from the manufacturing lines. And then it goes uninterrupted to their respective destinations. And that gives us, since it is our own, you know, the logistics, we operate every truck round the clock using our, artificial intelligence and IoT kind of a things. They reach, something like 75% or 60% of the time what other third party operators take. So that gives us the faster turnaround of the reaching of the product to the market, to the market. And also while coming back, these trucks carry, we have established a very beautiful and robust, reverse logistics. When they come back from, say, for example, Maharashtra or and Gujarat or Delhi and Punjab and other parts of the country, they bring return load, essentially food products, fruits or vegetables or, grains, et cetera, to third parties to back to Bangalore or Hyderabad or Chennai. So they offload and come back. So we save about roughly about 18 to 20% on the logistics cost when we are using our own transportation and skillfully employing those trucks for the return reverse logistics. So having our own trucks helps us, you know, to reach the products within the shortest possible time, number one, and retaining the quality till the product reaches to the destinations. And number three, which also helps us, you know, in saving the cost to the extent of 18-20%, as I said, and also helps us to bring back our various, I mean, the packaging materials or crates from across the market. So that's about, you know, the logistics. And your question on pricing, maybe you can answer how much we have increased.
So that's already answered. 10.5% we have increased, which offset our meal price increase and other input cost increase. And we have a margin expansion of 2.7%, which is net output of that.
Yeah. So last year, as you rightly said, that close to 11% the price increase as far as the product is concerned. See, our focus is continuously on the bottom line. And we also keep a very, very close watch on our product mix, number one. Number two, on an operational efficiency. And number three, on the input cost, particularly milk, which contributes about close to 50-55% of the input, total input cost. So we monitor all these things. And we have the pricing ability. We still have some more, you know, ability to pass on that, I mean, to retain and pass on that to an extent. And our price increase, unlike what the liquid milk operators have got a little bit of a constraint, we do not have that concern. As and when required, within the possible limit, we would be in a position to take a price hike as and when needed.
Okay, sure, sir. This is very, very helpful. This last question, if you can indicate the trade margins, that is essentially the MRP to companies' own realizations, what will be the spends that we would be incurring on trade. I guess some part will be indirect costs also, but I guess it is largely now reduced drastically post the GST changes. But if excluding GST, what will be the overall trade spends or the conversion from, let's say, MRP to own realizations for the company across key products, if you can indicate? That's my last question. Many thanks.
Yeah, Anil, I think I'll give a blended to understand and which we can apply to every product. We have from MRP to billing, we have around 4.5 to 5% that we give trade discount. So, and we have another 4.5 to 5% in the marketing like promotion.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, kindly limit yourself to two questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Sanjay Manyal from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the strong set of numbers. My question, first question is largely about the last quarter, base quarter rather. I believe summer was weak. So how much of this growth can be attributed to the weak summer last year or the low base probably last year? If you can elaborate some numbers over there. And also if you can sort of elaborate about the seasonality and the quarterly variation on the margins, you know, which probably quarters are better for you in terms of margin and which are the weaker ones.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'll answer. Let me see. Sanjay, thanks for that question. You know, see, as far as we are concerned, you know, all quarters are equally important for us. And particularly the second half of the year, H2, will give us an additional revenue to the extent of 150 to 200 crores. But this first quarter, you know, of course, ice cream contributed to an extent. But equally, the other products have also grown. It is not only the ice cream growth is 60%, but the growth from other categories is also equally important, like yogurts and, you know, cheese, you know, paneer. All these things have been growing in the range of, you know, 30 to 40% in between. So those things contribute a blended, contribute a blended way of, you know, margin expansion. At the same time, you know, we see a similar growth going forward also because we don't see any, you know, because only the ice cream which performed well in the summer, extended summer, but now summer is not going to be there, so we will not sell any ice cream. For us in South, ice cream is going to be, other than this particular 2 months of this monsoon period, which is a slight low, but otherwise ice cream sales is going to be robust as far as we are concerned around the year. Having said that, since we have a good quality, good product mix, okay, these products mix are not affected by the seasonalities, and they're round the year, products, the basic needs of the products, and they will continue to grow and will continue to have a similar margins going forward also.
Right, right. Yes, sir, go ahead if you want to add something.
Yeah, you want to understand the Q1 difference, right?
Right.
If you look at the Q1 last year, like you're rightly saying that Q1 was a bit slow, but it was not because of the volume. So if you look at closely, it was because of the price. Last Q1 was not very good. It's because our pricing ability due to GST and all, and initially we started looking at milk rationalization and all. So we could not take the price increase to the consumer that time. So it was more of like price, not the volume.
Okay. Understood, sir. Understood.
Yeah, thank you.
So my second question is on the whey protein side. I believe as of now, whatever the whey you have been extracting from paneer manufacturing process, or for that matter, cheese manufacturing process, is, what I understand, as of now, you would be selling it as a B2B. And is there any opportunity in B2C high protein products also? And if yes, is there acceptability for a Milky Mist brand and, for those products, and will we be able to utilize it? How much margin accretive that can be, if we are able to convert this whey protein from B2B to B2C?
See, right now, what we are selling is only whey powder, okay, which is coming out from the cheese and paneer manufacturing. And as you rightly said, we generate about 1 million liters of cheese whey every day, and that has got a good quality proteins. And, if you look at our DRHP or RHP, one of the project is to extract protein from this cheese whey and market it both for the internal consumption as well as for the B2B and B2C aspects. And that would give us a very strong further expansion in margins as well as bottom line contribution. But of course, that is going to happen, 12 to 15 months down the line, because we have placed the orders and the plant is expected to be up and running, a minimum 15 to 18 months from now. So that's one of the area we are looking at very optimistically. We already have a protein category in our system. That is a high protein paneer, high protein cheese, high protein yogurt. So we already built that category. And we are also into development of a few more high protein, ready to drink categories, which we would communicate as and when they're ready for the launch. And then, whey protein concentrate will become an additional further improving the category in this regard. So with this, all those things will help us to grow more, to add to the contribution of the top line and as well as the bottom line.
Sanjay, just to add one line, just to answer your first line of question. See, we already have the protein category in our portfolio. Yogurts are doing very well. Margins are very high. And all other protein category like cheese and paneer, we already have protein category and that are doing very well with very high margin. So you wanted to understand the protein category as such is already built in, and we are also working on to expand that side of the portfolio. On whey protein, like in DRHP, there is 1.5 year time. So we are going to create value to that.
Right, right. Thanks for that, sir. If I may squeeze in just last one, from a free cash flow perspective, given the fact that the current year would be still a capex year for you, how would be the capex plan for next year, given the fact that our utilization of the current plant is approximately 50%, will we be able to generate free cash flow from next year onwards?
See, Sanjay, with regard to the capacity expansion, the utilization, you see, as I said, we have more than 12 product categories, where the capacities are available to make use of them. But having said that, if the paneer, like what now, if the All India level, if the FSSAI ban, analog paneer, and as 90% of the paneer in India is handled by an unorganized sector, there will be a huge opportunity for us to grow. So it's a capacity expansion, capacity handling is a dynamic situation as far as Milky Mist is concerned. And since we have been growing at more than 30% year on year in the last many years, and even this quarter and going, looking forward like this also, there could be a little bit of an, you know, capacity expansions here and there. But with regard to, you know, what you call the CapEx spend, which we have already indicated how much we would be spending for next 3 years as far as RSP is concerned, that is on a whey protein concentrate, on lactose, on natural cheese category expansion, and also capacity addition in processed cheese as well as, you know, in yogurt categories. Okay. And you can explain, you know, what is that? Yeah, you can give a brief.
So if you look at CapEx, we have 500 crores of CapEx inbuilt in the RSP itself, and another 150 crores of CapEx inbuilt in the RSP. So we have 650 plus 550, 700 crores of CapEx there in the DRSP, or RSP. And we also have an WIP of 380 crore in book last year. So those are all it's going to come to the book. And okay, when we do that, we have the sudden maintenance CapEx and ancillary CapEx will be coming. But those all CapEx are actually funded either through IPO or already funded through bank and we settle them. There is no cash flow pressure in terms of CapEx maybe this year because we are actually having a lot of free cash available through debt repayment and our own of profitability expansions. So we are comfortable in terms of free cash and how much in dollars all time will like we'll evaluate that. But we are very comfortable the way cash flows are looking at now.
Thank you. Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks, Sanjay.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Naveen from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hope I'm audible.
Yeah.
Congratulations team on a good set of numbers. So just as an extension to one of the analysts asked about procurement price and all that, I just want to first understand in general, how is the flush going on right now? And year over year, I've been reading and hearing from places that there's been a structural decline in the yield per animal. So would you have any comments to, you know, based on that? And if you're taking any initiative or you're seeing that any improvements on that side? Yeah.
Thanks, Naveen. You see, our volume growth as far as the procurement volume growth has compared to, you know, between Q1 FY26 and Q1 FY27 is concerned, it's a 28%. Okay, that's the volume we have grown as far as the procurement volume is concerned. And while there could be a little bit of a slowdown in the procurement, means in the milk productivity, what we are seeing is a different picture because we are expanding our, the procurement network, number one. And we are also tying up with banks for the financing to our farmers with all the nationalized banks because you have a Kisan credit card and other things. Farmers have been with us since more than 5 to 10 years. So we are tying up with the banks who are our lenders also to extend the credit facility to our farmers. We are also increasing the herd size. You know, if the farmer has one or two animals, we are asking them to have a couple of them more. Apart from that, you know, we have a very strong and robust, the input services like artificial insemination, breeding, genetics and feed and fodder development, as well as doctors on the call and health camps, etc., deworming, etc. So all those things help us, to improve the productivity per cow. So that is going to be our primary focus. And since we require more and more milk, we are also very, very, like marketing, we are focusing very much on the backward integration and for an inclusive growth with the farmers. Thanks.
Got it, sir. One small follow-up clarification. So do we still see, you know, for the next year, the prices to be stressed getting worse or getting better? Just your outlook would be helpful.
See, we see a very bright future, Naveen. Okay, we are looking this sector as one of the brightest spot for us, and particularly from my side, I'm having in the milk industry for more than 30 years. You know, these are all cycles which keep going up and coming down, but nothing major to worry as far as we are concerned as Milky Mist.
Got it, sir. My second and final question to you would be regarding our EBOs. So, I've just been noticing that we've been scaling that up. So just wanted to understand your sense of how they're doing and what your plans are for the future, and like if you have any targets with respect to them or something like that.
Can you elaborate the first part of your question, please?
Exclusive brand outlets that we've been adding, sir.
Okay.
Just wanted to understand how they're doing.
See, we started this exclusive outlets on an experimental basis, and as of now, we have about 140 exclusive outlets. But with the changing the sales landscape, you know, with the quick commerce coming in a very strong way, okay, and with the modern trade setting up, you know, the stores across the places in the tier one, tier two cities, we are looking at this as one of the strongest revenue contributor. But at the same time, we are also very cautious about, you know, setting up these things in the semi-urban and the rural areas rather than focusing in the city areas. And while it is going to be one of our focus, that focus and strategy will evolve based on the kind of e-com and the modern trade shaping up in that particular area and region. So I just leave it at that, and we have about 140, and we will add up those numbers, but subject to the market conditions and the sales mix.
Thank you. Naveen, can you come back for a follow-up? Next question is from the line of Abhishek from Investec India. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity, and congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir. I have few questions. First is, what is the average daily milk procurement volumes in Q1, and a mix between direct farmer and third-party procurement? I know, like, it was 85%-15%. Has it been changed? And you have told that the landed cost for direct farmer procurement is 45 rupees per liter. Can you also tell what is the landed cost for third-party procurement channels? I'll come up for
yeah.
The second question.
Okay, fine. When you talk about the milk volumes, as I said, for Q1, our daily average procurement is 13.2 lakh liters per day. Okay, that's 13.2 lakh liters per day. That is our daily procurement volume. And this volume, since we are not interested in manufacturing any commodities, and with so much of a very controlled milk balancing system, which we established over a period of time in our setup, we continue to expand our procurement activities as we grow in the product demand. Okay, that's number one. Number two, when it is coming to the procurement cost, yes, our landed cost is 45 rupees. We are paying 42 rupees, 41 rupees, between 41 and 42 to the farmers, and remaining is the input cost to transport the milk from collection centers to the factory. Our procurement price, the variation between us and, I'm not saying it's the third party, but our partner, okay, is the same. But at the same time, whenever there is a good quality milk coming in, based on certain parameters like microbiological aflatoxins and all those things, we pay about 50 paisa more, not only to our farmers, but to our partner farmers also. So that doesn't change much of the thing. And since their volumes is about, you know, about 10-12%, that will continue to be there in the system. At the same time, we are expanding our procurement network in Tamil Nadu and, you know, other parts of the places like Karnataka and in Maharashtra. So going forward, our own volumes would increase, and our partner third-party volumes would slightly go down.
Thanks, sir. My second question is, like, what is the maximum revenue potential you are expecting from your Perundurai plant, like, post which you have to do CapEx for any new facility? Like, approx range would be helpful. Maximum revenue potential.
Let me tell you about the capacities that we have. You know, we have a larger capacities still to sweat our assets, like in ice creams and yogurts and et cetera. And also in cheese, now with the current capacity addition, we have a larger headroom to play. Paneer in the range of around 50%. So the revenue with the current MRP, you know, the pricing of the product, we expect in the range of 3x of FY 2026, 3.5x of FY 2026 numbers.
Thank you. Abhishek, can you come back for a follow-up? Next question is from line of Abhishek Mathur from Systematix Group. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just two quick questions. Firstly, our regional mix at about 70% in the south and 30% in non-south, has it been more or less constant in the past 1 year, which implies that has our growth been more or less along the same lines in the non-south and the south regions? If you can talk a bit about the regional growth trends over the past 1 year. And secondly, in terms of Maharashtra specifically, do we have any sort of sourcing plans? Are we already sourcing some amount from Maharashtra, and if not, going forward in the near term, do we have any further plans to set up capacities here and source something from here as well? These are my two questions. Thanks.
See, if you look at our historical data, if you take it from we have uploaded the presentation into the website. If you look at it historically, the revenue from non-south is steadily growing. Okay, currently we are operating at 70-30. That is a 69% from south and remaining 30-31% from non-south. And since south is also growing at 44% and north is non-south is growing at 50% year on year, that's how we expect a blended of around 43-44% of growth. The growth is inclusive. It is not that only south is not, means north is growing because of our expanding the market penetration, but south is also across the markets, wherever we are present in all five states, it has been steadily growing. So going forward, there will be a gradual change, but it could be in the range of 60-40, but there won't be any drastic reduction in south or north south next 5 years. Yeah, that's what we are looking at it. And with regard to your second part of the question, as far as the procurement is concerned, we have been, as a strategy and the business continuity point of view, Milkimist has been evolving various strategies of having not depending on only one source of milk, means particularly from one region. But so we started expanding our procurement activities network in adjacent districts of Karnataka, and also we are setting up of the procurement activities in Maharashtra. So continuously, since we have taken the land there and we are planning to establish the new setup over there, we initiated the procurement activities about 6-7 months back, and we will continue to improve our procurement activities and take it to a sizable volume before we commission our plant, so that the plant can handle at least 40% of the capacity, the utilization from the day one, which gives a break-even point.
Just a quick follow-up on your comments on Maharashtra, sir. So you were saying that you are in the process of setting up capacity there. Any further details that you can share in terms of size, in terms of probably the yield from in the first year, any numbers that you can share over there?
Right now we are as far as the plant configuration and the capacities are concerned, it is still at a very nascent stage. We are at the drawing board level. As I told you earlier, all those things depends upon what kind of growth we are overseeing for next 3 to 4 quarters. Okay, if we continue to have this kind of growth, maybe we may have to accelerate our implementation little advance. Otherwise, we will have a plan, as I told you, about 3 years down the line, we'll have the manufacturing capacity there. Those capacities and all those things, maybe I would be able to tell you once we have a very concrete plan in our hand. But with regard to milk procurement operations, yes, we have been very focused as far as Maharashtra milk procurement is concerned. And we have been setting up of our procurement setup directly from the farmers, receiving that milk, chilling it and bringing it to Perundurai plant and a concentrated format.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to understand, what is the leverage that you will get between your gross margin and operating profit, as your capacity utilization increases and if gross margin remains stable, how much scope is there to increase the operating margin?
The operating margin will be enhanced because of the scale benefit, and there are expansion, like whatever expansion is happening today, like 12.2% last quarter to now 14.9%, 15%, there are some amount of leveraging is happening because of scale. So that is there, and it will be, see, if you ask exactly, we would be expecting around 0.5% leverage benefit from there.
Sorry, I didn't get it. Can you please?
0.5%. 0.5%.
0.5. So how much can operating margin go up to? Because your capacity utilization in some of the products is low right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, because you set up very large capacities. So how much, I mean, can it go to 18% or will it stabilize at 15-16 is what I wanted to
know. No, 15% is we have reported now. So yes, definitely. I cannot, I have given you 0.5% and then the pricing, our team will price shifting, all are there, all are the factors. But yes, we are anticipating that kind of growth, what you are anticipating. So, but it is all anticipation in future. We will be comfortably doing this expansion in terms of pricing ability as well as the scale expansion, and that will benefit in our EBITDA margins. Going forward, the EBITDA will expand.
In 3-4 years, when you have better utilization, can we expect 18% kind of margin?
I cannot confirm you, but yes, you can expect that.
Margin expansions can happen with the capacity utilization, product mix, and sweating up of assets, and also the market expansion activities. Definitely, we see a margin expansion happening. But the quantification of that margin expansion 3 years down the line, I would leave it to your analytical abilities. So I think probably you would be in the right position to tell us, rather than we are giving say 17% or 18%. But yes, there's a larger headroom to play to help us to expand the margins. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take another last question and now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
There are no questions, I suppose, right?
No, sir, we'll take that as the last question.
Okay.
So would you like to give any closing comments?
Yeah, of course. Little bit to all the analysts and everyone present in the question and answer session. To summarize, Milky Mist has entered fiscal 2027 with a very strong momentum, as you have seen, with the results as well as the growth. This is just the beginning of our journey as a listed company, and we look forward to engaging with all of you regularly as we continue to build Milky Mist into one of the India's most trusted and admired food and dairy brands. When I say that one, we will be looking at a very bright future going forward. You look at the segment, the segment has been growing at, if you look at it, the dairy sector I'm talking about, let me come to the FMCG sector. In this sector, the growth has been in the range of around 10, 12, 14%, whereas we have been growing 3x of what our peers and the sector is growing. That's number one. Our margin expansion is happening, as you have seen, and our EBITDA margins are also higher by 4-5% as compared to the other players in the market. And going ahead, if you look at it, leaving aside the liquid milk, the dairy sector, all the value-added products has been growing. It has been projected to grow in the range of 15-25%, depending upon the product category. And if you look at last 5 years and going next 5 years, the growth has been similar. In fact, there's a slight uptake in a product growth. So that is number one. So we have a larger headroom since we are not in milk, whereas only in the products, number one. Number two, if you look at paneer, now the paneer has become one of the hottest topic today in India, particularly with respect to analog and real paneer. To give you a figure, about 95% of the paneer which produces in India is handled by an unorganized sector, loose paneer, unbranded, whatever you call it as. Just only 5-7% is handled by an organized sector like Milky Mist. And in that, Milky Mist has about 20% market share, close to. So just imagine that if the unorganized share is going down and the organized market share is going up to 25%, say for example, what would be the potential available for a player like us, Milky Mist particularly, okay, since we are in that category, we have established. And we are cheese again, there are only very, very limited players, but the category is growing in the range of 18% since last many, many years. So we are very much there, and we have the capacities additional. The yogurt category is another important factor to us, and that has been growing leaps and bounds because of the thanks to protein. So we look at protein as a category going forward, and we would like to give a very nutritious, good products to the consumers. So we name any product in the sector, in the category. So we have a larger headroom to play. We have invested well ahead of the time. We have built larger capacities. The capacities are required to be utilized and set in. So we have a larger headroom to play to make use of our capacity, and we will continuously to build our marketing network to make this brand as one of the largest brand in India. Okay, with that, you know, I close this the session, and if you have any further questions, please reach out to our Adfactors PR and our investor relations partners. Thanks a lot for asking a lot of questions, and you know, that also gives us a lot of understanding about the sector and from your questions, and we look forward similar kind of interactions in near future. Thanks.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Milkmist AB Food Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.